I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I'm just sitting here pondering before I went live here on the show. I had a little bit of a conversation before with some of the guys here in the queue before we got rolling. I want to steal a line from our mutual friend, Bradley Dean. I'm a boat rocker. I think that's what it is. I was discussing with some of the guys before we came on the air that I walk a fine line because I don't paint inside the lines, if you know what I'm talking about. I don't color inside the lines. Sometimes I get outside the line. And I never, ever, 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 if you ever take what I say as gospel truth, you do that at your own peril. Because I'm here to tell you, I don't know. There's a lot of things I don't know. I know this, the Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, I hear people quote that a lot, and I want you to stop a minute, because the Bible doesn't say you shall hear the truth, but you shall know it. There's a difference between hearing it and knowing it. So if I were to paraphrase, which I wouldn't add to or take away from anything in the gospel, but I would say, you shall know the truth, and if you know it, it shall make you free. See, truth alone, friends, does not make us free. It doesn't. Because as we were discussing yesterday, I know I got my battle garb on today. I'm not going to war. I just haven't worn this garb in a while. I thought I'd put it on yesterday. As we found out yesterday, everything, I want you to think about this a second. Everything in the entire world, ready, is inside your head. Everything. Everything you've ever known, everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever seen, everything you've ever experienced, there is no reality outside of your mind. Why don't you ponder on that a second? Your mind creates your own reality. So what are you talking about, Coach? Well, if I die tomorrow, everything I know dies with me. Now, the history or the truth or all that stuff that I know, it doesn't die. But everything I know dies with me. So in reality, your heart, your brain, your soul, your inner man is the only reality that really exists. Oh, you got your fleshly body because we're in a fleshly world. But just to ask yourself this question, where do thoughts come from? Where do they come from? Did you think that? Did you ever ponder that?
Day.
And scripture says to take captive every thought. What do you mean take captive? That means something must be coming by and you got to catch it. Take captive every thought. Not just every thought. Take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into obedience. Oh, man, where is that? Dig that up for me, Jerry. We need to look at that scripture. Take captive every thought. Find that real quick. Yeah, go ahead, Raj.
I was just going to say, you know, when I turn into the queue, or I go out to breakfast with you periodically, I see a man that has wisdom. So I do listen to you. Now, do I listen 100%? No, that's called a cult. But when I come onto the queue and I'm being taught by you or other men on the queue, I'm looking for guidance and wisdom. So when you say, You know, don't, you know, that I understand you're saying you don't understand everything or know everything. I get that. But I believe as men, we are called to be surrounded by other men that we do believe they know what's going on. The simplest example is you're a coach. If I'm a struggling coach and my team has been 2-8 for 3 years in a row, I might ask you to come watch film with me and tell me what I'm doing wrong. So, you know, I'm not trying to make you feel great about yourself, but I don't tune in here because I think Dave Dobemeyer doesn't know shit. I tune in because I think Dave Dobemeyer and has life experiences that are biblically tied to things that interest me, and I can seek counsel and wisdom and guidance from him. But I don't think you walk on water, nor do I think everything you say is correct. Does that make sense?
That does make sense, Roger. In fact, it's funny that you would say that because I was sitting here thinking about one time 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I don't remember. I got this crazy notion that I wanted to get some video cameras and some recorders and go sit down with Woody Hayes. I thought, my goodness, if somebody would ever sit down with Woody Hayes and just do an interview and create a series of wisdom from Woody Hayes, I'd be a millionaire today, Roger. And the truth is, Woody Hayes, with all of his flaws and all of the everything about him, everything he knew died with him. Everything he knew and experienced. All that wisdom gone. And that's why I say that one of the struggles that we have, see, you cannot teach what you haven't experienced. You can't, if you have never been to an abortion clinic, you can't teach somebody else what to do there. Oh, you can lecture them on. But unless you've done it, you haven't done it. And I'll just throw this out there that, guys, I hope this doesn't sound like I'm using examples, okay? I'm using examples. Those of you who know me or have been around me know that I have a gift of communication. I don't know where it came from. It's a gift. It's in my head, okay? I hear things differently. I filter them differently. I speak them differently. But those of you who have been around me or been know that when I am on a podium making a presentation, I like to say, I can tell a story about a dog that will make a cat cry. God has given me that ability, that gift of communication. But it is a piercing gift of communication and, dare I say it, makes some people uncomfortable. And because it makes some people uncomfortable, hey, folks, the gospel should make you uncomfortable. The gospel is not just a comfort book. It's just not a feel-good book. There's a lot of things in that gospel that when I read it, make me uncomfortable. Can somebody say amen? Can somebody say amen? And we know this, that all of the great leaders, all of them, I don't care who they are, all of the great leaders that we've seen in America, in the world, throughout history, at some point, made a lot of people uncomfortable, including the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He made people uncomfortable. So the difficult thing that we fight, see, the real, I guess, the real proof of leadership is the ability. I once told a parent who was complaining to me because their kid wasn't getting enough playing time. I said, listen, here's the difference. We both love your son. I just don't love him the way that you do. I love him differently. You see what he wants. I see what he needs. Those are not the same thing. And so if you're going to be in a position of leadership, in a position of authority, and coming back to the thoughts and taking captive, if you're going to be in those positions, then you are going to have to learn to love the truth more than you covet a good reaction from people. It just is what it is. And a great football coach in the midst of the battle doesn't care whose toes he steps on. Jared, you're a Marine? Isn't that what a drill sergeant did? Stepped on all of your comfort to teach you to obey the truth. Would that not be what boot camp is, Jared?
Sure, teach you discipline.
Teach you discipline. Make you uncomfortable. in situations where you've never found yourself.
Well, Coach.
Now, I believe this. As we move into what we're moving into now, the way we've done things isn't going to work, boys. It's going to take some discomfort. To move forward, it's going to be a lot of uncomfortable. Oh, boy. Bible says what? Men's hearts failing them for fear. The things that have come upon the world, upon the earth. Status quo isn't going to do it, is it? It isn't. And sometimes we have to be shocked into the truth. I just paused there a second. I heard from three, for what it's worth, over the last 24 hours, I've heard from three men who just are kind of alone. You know what I'm saying? They're just kind of alone. And we men tend to be that way. Issues pop up. You fall back into sin. I'm not saying they all fall back into sin, but some fall back into sin. They fall back into old habits. No way to get out of them. And I would just encourage all of you out there. We're a band of brothers. We really are. And let's check in. Let's just check in on one another a little bit more, huh? Let's do that. Sorry, that just popped into my brain. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For that we walk in the flesh, our battles, we don't war with the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Time out a minute. Somebody a lot smarter than me. What is a stronghold? I'm going to pause. I know there's a little bit of a delay. How would you explain a stronghold to somebody?
A wrong belief, perhaps? A wrong belief. Mark Trump might say first principle, a wrong first principle.
Mm-hmm.
Fortified position.
A fortified position. All right. So where does a stronghold come from? Because the scripture says that we are to do what with those strongholds? We're supposed to pull them down. The mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Would strongholds be habits? Belief systems, patterns in our life. I had a revelation this morning. Remember I told you yesterday, I woke up about 3:30, sat straight up in the bed, and I shared with my wife, man, something came in our room last night. Whatever it is, man, something popped me right up in the middle. Now, hey, Mark, I don't know where that thing came from. Whatever it was that popped me up, boy, it came from someplace. But then I was thinking this morning as I was preparing the show, wow. See, I thought it was demonic. What if it was the Holy Spirit issuing a warning? It's hard to tell the difference in those two things sometimes, isn't it? But see, we all have strongholds. We have thought systems, belief systems, patterns, habits that control us. And that's why the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, that's pulling down these things, these thought processes that hold us in bondage. Casting down imaginations. Imaginations. In the middle of that word imagination is image. Image. To imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine. Thoughts. Casting down thoughts, imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hey, Mark, here's a question. Where does a thought come from? It's in your head, isn't it? Everything's in your head. So we begin to see the importance of the mind of Christ. Is it possible? Larry, Is it possible to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ? Or what does that mean, to the obedience of Christ? Meaning it lines up with what we know about the truth. Bring every thought and line it up with the truth. Because there are a lot of falsehoods. There are a lot of imaginations. There are a lot of strongholds. And there's nothing that makes a man madder than for somebody to question his belief system. Makes us mad, nervous. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. What? Revenge all disobedience? When your obedience is fulfilled. When you get your mind right. To get even. To make it equal. To make it right. What? All disobedience? Once your obedience is fulfilled. Once your mind gets right. Do you look on things after the way they appear outwardly? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ's, even so are we Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I might not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters say they are white, weighty, and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. What a word. Oh, my goodness. Where was I heading? Somebody help me out. I was heading somewhere. Otherwise, I'm going to start cutting.
Hey, Coach, that thought word thoughts, the Greek word there is noema. It's also used over here in 2 Corinthians 2:11, where it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, but we are not ignorant of his devices, of his noemas.
Mm.
Same word. So the thoughts that we get, most of the time, probably can be coming directly through that realm, satanic realm, those thoughts, those noemas. That's why we have to take them to the obedience of Christ.
Okay, so
that's
Randy,
the judgment.
Randy, let me take you back to Chappaqua. Because you heard from the Lord that you were to go to Chappaqua and you were to put your hands on that threshold. And we went to Chappaqua, we went to Hillary's house, and we left, and you didn't do it. Even though that you'd been told to do it, you don't know where that thought came from, but that thought came to you that you should do it. And we went there, and for whatever reason, you didn't do it. We go get gas, and that voice speaks to you again. That voice speaks to you again so powerfully that you came up to me and you said, Coach, listen, I have to go back. See, that was another decision. You made a decision to go. You made a decision not to do it. You went to the gas station. You made a decision that the decision you made was wrong. You weren't obedient, and you made the decision to go back, right? So every time there's a voice that comes to you, it will be followed by a second voice. I think I shared this with you before. If the Lord tells you to do something, immediately another voice will come. And the other voice is going to tell you, no, don't do that. Or it will distract you or try to discourage you. Don't do that. No, don't do that. That's why the Bible says, take captive every thought. Especially every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And folks, have you ever heard something that you know is from the Lord and say, Lord, is that you? Isn't that what Peter did when he walked on water? Didn't Peter look out on the water and say, Lord, if that's you? So Peter knew it was him. He obviously knew it was him. Lord, if that's you. Maybe we need to apply that sometimes. Lord, is that you? Was that you, Lord? Or was that another voice? Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, you know, I'm a firm believer that Scripture meshes like a jigsaw puzzle. It matches up with itself. It fits together nicely. Uh-huh. And there's, you know, Scripture says that you cannot serve two masters. Now, masters direct people's lives. You know, wow. If you're the master, you direct the people that you're master of. You direct their lives.
You're not my boss, right? Uh-huh. That's right.
And the word also says that his sheep hear his voice. Now, we know that Satan likes to try to counterfeit everything God does. So God tries to use his, I mean, Satan tries to use his voice and make you think it's God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Bible also tells us to learn to discern good from evil by what? By practicing it, by figuring it out, by keep doing. Every time a thought comes in your head, it should be, where did this thought come from? Is this from God or is this from Satan? Because I ain't smart enough to create my own thoughts.
And I would say this, folks, the more you obey that voice of that Holy Spirit, the easier that voice becomes to recognize. My sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not hear.
Bingo.
Practice. Now, somebody just put in the chat, and I don't mean this to be, I'm not pointing anybody out or making fun of anybody, I just saw it flash up there. Folks, this is somebody mentioned something about you have to bind the devil. Folks, let me tell you something. This is critical for us to understand. The devil is not omniscient, omnipresent. He's not like God. He is a created being. He can only be one place at one time. And his demons, those who are under his authority, are often under his orders. But many of them were in their own nature birthed in rebellion. And I would say that not every spirit, the Bible says test the spirits, that not every spirit that comes after you is directly on orders from the evil one. Some of them are just playing out and living out their sin nature. And because we live in a natural world, the only way that a supernatural being can enter into this natural world is through a body. The only way they can get in here. Jesus had to be birthed into a body. That's why Jesus said, he who is with you shall be in you. A spirit being floating around in the air cannot affect you unless you permit it to happen. That comes back to taking captive every thought. Lord, was that you? Or was that another voice? Because I think, Larry, I think this. My sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not hear. If I was a studier of Greek or one of those languages, maybe somebody can research it for me. I think that phrase would sound better like this. My sheep obey my voice, and another voice they will not obey. It's simply not hearing. We hear all kinds of stuff. We call it noise, background noise. We hear all kinds of stuff. So it has to be more than just the hearing. It has to be in the obedience to what we hear.
Coach?
Yeah.
Can I give you an example? I think this will really, really explain this. You're doing this is good. In the car coming back to when we stop to get gas, here's all the thoughts are coming in my head. Oh, you can do it later. Ah, you don't want to do that. That's you can get hurt. Fear. You know, and then I go, no, I got to do it.
That's right.
Because it came from the Lord. I already knew that. So that's when I told you I have to go back. I made the decision. I cast down those thoughts.
Amen.
I cast them down, Coach, and that's why I obeyed.
You took it captive.
If I hadn't have cast them down, I would have sat in the car and not done anything.
Exactly right.
And fear would have won. His frequency would have won. I wouldn't have done it. Nothing would have happened. And that's where we lose. That we lose it when we don't cast down those demonic thoughts and those.
Amen.
No way. Well,
Randy, it's because we don't recognize them as demonic thoughts. We don't recognize that. We don't understand the power of suggestion from the non-natural world. We don't understand.
He owns the frequency. Paul said he's the prince of the power of the air. He owns the frequencies. We have to be smarter. We have to be wiser and cast them down.
And what does that mean, Randy? Or not just even Randy. Folks, what would that mean to cast something down? So we read through the scriptures, and it's so melodical, and it just has a great rhythm to it. But yet that word means something. What does that mean to cast down imaginations? What? What? And why doesn't it say cast up imaginations? Because the scripture says casting down imaginations. And Jared, we were there, weren't we? I think I doubled back. And every high and lofty thing. Casting down imaginations and every high thing, I say loft, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity every thought to what it is that you know the Lord would have you to do. You know, sometimes, just like with your own children, you don't continually sit there all day and tell all of your children every move to make, every action to take. You pray as a parent that you've trained them that they now know I do this when I brush my teeth. I put my brush here. I wipe my mouth. I guard whatever it is that you don't. You train them in how to operate. And Christ is trying to do the same thing through us, through obedience to him. That once we become obedient to him and becomes a pattern to us, that thought and that imagination has been cast down. Now, it can be lifted back up. You can go give life to it. You can exalt that thought. You can do whatever you want to. But the question, again, doubles back to, where do those thoughts come from? They're in our head. There's a wireless network out there somehow that we don't understand. A wireless communication system that is constantly bombarding us with thoughts. It's deep, isn't it? Mm. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I don't need to camp here. But I think it's critical for us. I think most of the problems I have in my life are because I didn't take captive every thought. Every thought. I struggle with it less and less, but there are areas. If I were to ask you right now, could you recognize a stronghold in your life? A pattern that you can't break? I bet if I ask your wife, she could tell me what that stronghold is in your life. And that stronghold in your life is hindering you. But see, you've become, what's the word? You've become comfortable with it. You've become comfortable with it. You say, what kids used to say when I was teaching school, well, it's just the way I am. Well, you're not supposed to stay just the way you are. You're supposed to be moving deeper and deeper. And by doing that, that requires more obedience and recognition, more obedience to the Lord and more recognition of those high and lofty things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. If I yell at Michelle, what's my greatest hindrance? She wouldn't have to tell me because I know what it is. Procrastination. Procrastination is the thief. It's the idea that, oh, well, I can do it later. I can do it. I tell my wife, you know, I operate best when I'm under pressure to get it done. And you know what happens to me? All of a sudden, I find myself under pressure.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, your intuition or your reception about that word obey, the word obey in that verse you're talking about is no, the word hear that you're talking about in that verse, my sheep hear my voice, yeah, is from the Greek word number 191 in Strong's Concordance. Now, the word obey in the Strong's Concordance. The most often translated Greek word is 5219, and it says it came from the Greek word 191. So obedience, is rooted in hearing.
I'll be darned.
The words used.
That makes more sense, doesn't it, Larry? Because of course I hear other voices. Of course I do. But I don't obey them. Hope I don't obey them. Hey, men, how many times do you sit on the computer, in front of the computer, and boom, a temptation for pornography comes across your screen? Something to tempt you out of the eye gate, the ear gate, whatever it is. You see something and a thought comes. It's like the old idea, you know, you say to somebody, hey, look at this red fence. And all of a sudden you picture a red fence. You never thought about it. You never thought about a red fence until somebody suggested that you should think about a red fence. That's constantly going on, I believe. That's constantly going on in the supernatural world. And it comes back to what I said yesterday. I don't know whether it was in the before show or the after show. The idea to pray without ceasing. Pray, folks, can I be honest with you? That's impossible. To pray without ceasing? How do you do that? How would you get anything done if you were supposed to pray without ceasing? Unless prayer means communicate. To communicate without ceasing. To constantly be tuned in to that wavelength, that Holy Spirit wavelength, that if you are constantly tuned in to that Holy Spirit wavelength, you will not get off course. Pray without ceasing. Never hang up the phone with the Holy Spirit.
Amen, Coach.
Hey Coach, this is good. Who turns the radio off normally? We do, because we want to hear something else.
Mm.
Mark, what a mic drop. The radio station keeps broadcasting. Each station keeps broadcasting its programming. It is those who receive it that do the diddling and the turning off.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It's so deep, isn't it? It is so deep. And, you know, since I've gotten to know Mark and we've dug into waves and all that kind of stuff, and 3G and 4G and 5G, I began to understand that there right now, as I sit down here in this multi-million-dollar studio, there are all kinds of waves that are going across through here. There's if I turned on my radio right now, I don't have one here, but if I turned it on, I could tune into 610 WTVN, and that wave, it's coming in here, but I can't. But unless I have the receiver, I can't hear 610 WTVN. That's where we listen to this talk show. Sports talk show. Rush Limbaugh, he's on 610.
Amen.
But sometimes I get tired of hearing Rush Limbaugh, and I want to hear Mike Gallagher. Dennis Prager. And Dennis Prager's on 98.9. And so I spin that dial, and all of a sudden, whoops, I got to flip it to FM first. And I spin that dial, and all of a sudden, there's Dennis Prager in my ear. Dennis Prager's there the whole time. Rush and Dennis Prager and many others, they're all talking. It's all going through here, folks. It's all going right here through us, in front of us. But it's only the ones I'm tuned into. That's why the Lord says, tune into me. Tune into me. Take captive everybody.
Coach.
Tune down Prager. Turn off Limbaugh. Tune into me. Because he's out there too. See?
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
All of those stations that aren't of Christ are free. You don't even need to pay for a receiver. You get them for free. Jesus Christ station is the only one that was paid for by his blood so we could communicate. The only one.
And, Mark, that's that Holy Spirit receiver or app or download that you get, that without it, you cannot pick up the station. You can't pick up the Jesus station without the Holy Spirit receiver to receive that frequency.
He bought us a lifetime access membership.
Mm.
Coach, I'm convinced we can't hear when there's so much commotion and pollution and noise and background noise. That's why we can't hear in the first place. We have to turn off a bunch of this wasted noise, turn these frequencies off so that we can hear. That puts us in a place where we can hear.
Randy, I came Wow. This is a revelation to me. Michelle came in last night. She went to a Bible study that I didn't go to. I didn't go to it. She goes to it. That's rare because we do stuff together, my wife and I. But she came in from her Bible study, and I was in the midst of listening to something important. I had my plug in, just like I have an ear plug in now. I had an ear plug in then, and she comes in. Oh, how you doing, honey? How did it go tonight? And the whole time that's going on, I'm listening to what's on the internet. I'm listening to what I'm listening to my program as I'm talking to my wife. And she says something. At the same time she says that, I'm listening to something. I'm listening to an important point here on this show. YouTube I'm watching. It's an important moment. And she says something right at the same time. And you know what she said to me? Natural reaction. What'd she say? You're not even listening to me. Guy, go on. Is that it? Is the whole time during your day the Holy Spirit talking to you, but you're listening to Rush? You're listening to something else. He said, you're not even listening to me. You're listening to that other voice, which I told you, don't listen to that other voice. I'm trying to give you clear direction. Is anybody getting bogged down on this? Do you want to change subjects? To me, this is absolutely fascinating. It's just absolutely fascinating. Because there are voices coming at us from a million different directions.
These are the mechanics of prayer, Coach. These are the mechanics. We got to bring it into this world and how it works so that we know how to do it. And for those who've never done it or just are saying words, their words, they're impacting their environment. Their thoughts are impacting their environment. You can tell when someone's angry or happy without them talking. Mm-hmm. We are beings who impact our environment. We communicate wirelessly across space and time because Jesus is not in this dimension. So nice. We have these abilities, period. So that when we understand how to do it, how to tune in and tune out other things, this is education, Coach. This is good.
So part of it is allowing the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is really good. Thank you, Lord. Allowing the Holy Spirit to take you out of your comfort zone. None of us want
Hey, can I share a real quick story that relates to this that happened to me yesterday, Coach?
Sure, Bobby. Sure.
Yeah. All right. So I'm working on a piece of machinery yesterday. I'm putting in an entire new electrical housing unit. And that turned out not to be the problem. So I spent all day working on this thing. And it goes through the day. And after lunch, for a 30-minute period of time, the buzzer goes off and I go out in the warehouse and allow the truck driver in. And I'm leaning up against something and I'm looking at this other piece of machinery that's a small piece of machinery. And it looks to be the same. And is that the same switch? Well, it is the same switch. And I go back in and look at it. And what I didn't say is earlier in the morning I had prayed. I prayed twice. And then I prayed again and I laid hands on the machine. Now, bringing you back to where I'm in the warehouse looking at this piece of machinery, it's the same switch. I go back in and I install the switch. And that fixed the entire problem. Hmm. Now, the moral of the story is, had I not been frustrated, had I not laid hands on it and prayed twice, and then the Lord took me out of the warehouse for 3 minutes that I didn't want to go, had I not leaned up and looked at this old piece of machinery, none of this would have happened.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, right?
Yeah, so I just think that's a pretty phenomenal event that happened in my life yesterday.
It's a supernatural, simple intervention of the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? What?
Or is it a coincidence? See, we go through life missing these coincidences are of God. And before you were born, Bobby, in the womb, he knew that particular sequence of events would happen to lead to this story, this testimony, and look at the change that could result. God knew. That's the God we worship. He knows every moment in our future, and he wants us, you know, he wants us to choose the right thing, Coach.
Would our churches be as messed up as they are if we simply were taught how to hear and obey the voice of God. Just that very, very simple act to hear and obey. The old song says, trust and obey, right? Trust and obey. See, you will not obey if you don't trust. Probably won't. And so the thought taking captive thing is no different than the constant right now where you are sitting. How many different radio station waves are going through right where you're sitting? If I were to ask you to name 5, 6 radio stations that you could tune on right now, you know what those are, but you don't hear them, do you? They're here. It takes a special machine to hear them. That's the Holy Spirit and us. Wow. I don't know about you guys. I'm getting something out of it. I want to move on unless somebody wants to stay there. It's important. Had Randy, see, when Randy went to Hillary's the first time and didn't do what the Holy Spirit had told him to do, it was important enough to the Holy Spirit that he reminded Randy, you didn't do what I asked you to do. And then Randy, because he's somewhat familiar with hearing his voice and obeying his voice, he said, you know, you're right. Hey, coach, I got to go back. Man, if we would simply operate on that premise, hear his voice, trust his voice, obey his voice.
Hey, coach.
Yep. Hey, Jeff.
I was just reading the other day. I was reading that other book that Robert's got, Time to Stand. And something hit me. I was reading it. It said, take captive every thought, not every other thought. I thought that was good.
Yes. Take captive every thought. To what? To test it, whether it's from the Lord or not. Lord, is that you? That's what Peter said. Lord, is that you? I think you're missing it. It's like saying, hey, Trump, is that you? In other words, I recognize it's you.
Hey, coach.
Is it really you?
This will bring it home. If you're watching your grandkids and you're in the living room and they're quiet or they're making noise and then they get quiet, what do you immediately do? You go check on them. Right? You go check on them. So the question is you should be able to hear God's voice all the time. And when you don't hear his voice, you better be checking on it. That's how you live in the spirit. Yeah. And that's why the world don't make sense to us, is we're in the spirit most of the time. None of this makes sense because our compass is on truth. And we can't even fathom these other people's waypoints and where they're getting their GPS signal, right?
Amen.
Right, Coach. It's interesting. When Paul, the very last verse in 2 Corinthians, Paul left the Corinthians with three things he wanted them to possess and have. One was the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second, the love of God. The third thing was fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
He wanted them to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's what you're talking about, being led, and fellowship, communicate, listen. And he puts that on the same level as the love of God and the grace. Tells you it's pretty important.
So, Robert, listen to this, folks. You guys are going to think I'm crazy. Hey, Robert, you get ready. I'm going to have you read this. And then, Jared, I want you to pull up it says cry loud. I want you to pull that up, too. I have not eaten a piece of candy. Did I share this with you the other day? I've not eaten a piece of candy since December 27th. Now, if you come into my house on the little table that we have in the middle, there's always candy there. Grandkids come down all the time. I call them Grampy pills. And it's chocolate, and it's mints, just all kinds of them there. And it seems like during the holidays, every time I walked by that table, I threw something in my mouth. Every time. Boom, 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 boom. And I made the determination on the 27th of September, I'm sorry, December, 27th of December, I'm not eating any candy. I'm not eating any candy. What is this? How many days has that been? Somebody do the math. 27, 28, 29, 30, Is there 31 in December, 30 days after September? 31. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
13 days.
13 days. I have not had one piece of candy. What's the point? The Holy Spirit can control your ability to be able to do it. All I have to do is say no. Every time I walk by that dish on that table, that candy calls my name. Every time. Hey,
Coach, back on the 27th when you got the thought that you didn't want to eat candy anymore, where did that thought come from? Was that the Holy Spirit telling you not to eat candy?
Isn't that something? Take captive every thought. And now every time that thought comes by, it's just a, please eat me. Please. It's not strong. Eat me. It's please eat me.
How's it get in, Coach? You react because of your senses.
I obey the wrong voice, man. I got the wrong frequency.
We all have senses, and the Bible gives a precedence. It says better to cut out your tongue or your eye if our senses. Our senses are what Satan uses.
Amen.
It's the only way temptation can get in. Now, there is that other sense, the frequency, right? So he can communicate with you that way, too. So don't forget that.
Okay, so watch this. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Coach, you know, I practice that, what you just said earlier, praying without ceasing. And here's how I practice it. And this is simple. And it's what Robert said. It's fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This is all the same, basically the same thing. I listen. I'll be driving down the road, and I'm quiet, but I'm not thinking about – I'm a good driver, don't get me wrong. But I listen. My ear's open. Jesus said, he that has an ear, let him hear. Mm-hmm. My ear's open. Okay, I may speak once a little bit. I might pray something, but then I listen. That's what it means praying without ceasing. It means you have your ear open to hear.
Stay connected, baby.
The other one. Prayer is a two-sided – it's like a – you and I fellowshipping. Coach, you speak and I listen. If I don't listen, I don't hear you.
Amen.
So it goes back and forth. It has to be both people are listening. God is listening to us when we speak. We are listening to him when he speaks.
Okay, so let me jump in here. Jared's got it up on the screen. Isaiah 58 is on the screen right now. So thinking about what we just heard, why would the Lord say to us through Isaiah, cry aloud and spare not? Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Why? Because you have to cut through all of this other stuff. Sometimes you have to be loud. Sometimes you have to be persistent. Sometimes you have to say, take out the earbuds. Turn off the radio. Shut down the internet. Why? Cry loud. Spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. See, people don't like that. They don't like crying loud. They don't like us lifting up our voice like a trumpet. They don't like us showing others their transgressions. They don't like that. But the Lord says, sometimes you got to do that. They're tuned into something else.
Amen.
Hey, Coach. Yeah. Let me tie this in. This is a crazy revelation, just listening to this. So I went and looked. Isaiah 35 talks about the highway of holiness. It says, there is a highway that is of holiness, and the righteous shall travel, but the unrighteous shall not. When you're on the highway driving, what are the things that cause you to go off the off-ramp? It's the distractions of the road signs that appease us.
Right.
So we're talking about radio frequencies, and I love what Mark says. God has purchased this radio station. In other words, it's commercial free. What are the frequencies when you're turning on a radio? What are the things that distract us from the show is all the commercials, things that entice us. Yep. Things that are causing us to pay and buy other things. But there's a highway, brother, that we need to travel on. There is a radio station that we need to stay in tune to. And we need not be distracted by the commercials.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, good one, Dale.
there's another aspect of pray without ceasing, and that is when we're praying in the collective, the word says pray for one another. It doesn't say pray about one another. When I'm praying the way Jesus taught me to pray, our Father which art in heaven, and I go through the prayer that he taught us, I am praying in the place of all my true brothers and sisters in Christ who may not be actively praying at that moment. But mm-hmm. I'm praying for them because I'm praying our, not me, not I. I'm praying our. And if all of us do that, then we're constantly covered in that particular prayer, which covers everything. But we are covered in praying without ceasing when we are praying for each other, not about each other.
Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as the nation that did righteousness, forsook not the ordinances of God. Somebody's got to be screaming and hollering at this nation. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. They say, why have we fast? Why have we done all this thing and you don't see it? We don't get our way. He says, because you're fasting for the wrong thing, for strife and debate and the fight. He said, isn't this a fast I've chosen? End of the day for a man to afflict his soul, lay down his head in a bull rush and spread sackcloth and ashes? Says, this is not the fast I've chosen to loosen the bands of wickedness. Folks, the bands of wickedness. Bands of wickedness. Something is holding us to undo the heavy burdens, to let the yoke grow free, break every yoke. Yes.
The bands, that's like radio bands of frequencies.
Right. And when you do that, it's not to deal the bread to the hungry and the poor that are cast out of your house and see you naked and cover him. Then shall your light break forth. Robert, go ahead, man. I'm going to run out. I wish I had 4 hours today. January 9th, Robert.
All right, here. We're going to look at some promises of God. And, you know, one reason we can take down strongholds, we have promises that tell us we can do these things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it says, too many are addicted to superficial movements of strange spirits upon their emotions because they're too little accustomed to the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit in their life.
Well, isn't that true? Because if you see the Holy Spirit work, you won't fall for a counterfeit.
Yep. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The devil despises the promises of God. Cash in on the promises of God and the devil will have to check out. It is by claiming the promises of God that we continue on the road to holiness and partake of divine nature, becoming holy as God is holy. He has this verse, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises in order that by them you might become partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust.
Yep.
So what are some of these magnificent promises? Well, one, God's unlimited power is available to us.
If you're connected.
Yeah, if you're connected and you're listening to the Spirit, then you can take down these strongholds. Resist the devil, he must flee. That's a good promise.
Unplug the devil.
That's right. Unplug it. Turn it off. We can overwhelmingly conquer in overwhelming circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Our mission assignment is to destroy the works of the devil as Jesus did.
Wow.
In us lives Christ before whom demons tremble and are tormented. Torment before us. The Spirit of God is greater than the devil. The Holy Scriptures makes us adequate and equipped for every good work. It's a good promise. By the power of the Holy Spirit and by practicing the Word of God, we can cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Being seated with Christ at the right hand of God, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and having been enlisted as his soldiers and sent out as his ambassadors, we have divine authority and power to rule and take dominion away from the devil and expand the kingdom of God by
Amen.
Force. That's
Amen.
The kingdom.
Without imaginations. Yep. Amen.
See Amen. It.
You know what I just got there, Robert? These are all so good. God's Holy Spirit's a bug zapper. He's a bug zapper. You guys have one of those bug zappers on your back? Jared, go back down to that commentary a minute. Scroll back down to the, I think it was on the second page. Because this is what jumped out as you're reading it. Right? God's unlimited power is available for us. Resist the devil and he must flee. We can overwhelmingly conquer in overwhelming circumstances. Our mission assignment is to destroy the works of the devil. Zzz, 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 bug zapper. The Holy Spirit's a bug zapper. Zzz, comes that thought, zzz, that temptation. Zzz, zzz. But we have to recognize it, see. We have to be plugged into the power, obedient to the power.
Hey, Coach. Yeah.
Good.
That's it. That's it. You got to plug the bug zapper in. Otherwise, the bugs just fly right through.
That's right. And they are flying by you. We know that they are, right? Principalities and powers. The powers of the air. Come on, man. We know this, right? But see, we don't understand, again, coming back to the beginning, where do thoughts come from? Because the Bible calls them, whether we know it or not, imaginations, taking captive every thought, casting down imaginations. Hey, Jared, I know you're working on something. Go to Webster real quick.
Hey, Coach, Randy gave us one of the biggest lessons, and I'd like everyone to try this. Y'all try to do it, is try to make your mind blank. And try to just be quiet and don't let any thoughts come in. Just try not to think about the weather or what's on TV. Just sit down for 5 minutes and try to be quiet in your mind. See if you can do it. Don't go drive down the road like Randy does every day, but give that a shot. That's a good lesson.
Amen. Imagination is the power or faculty of the mind by which it conceives and forms ideas of things communicated to it by the organs of sense. Wow. Imagination, I understand to be the representation of an individual thought. Wow.
Coach.
Imagination, in its proper sense, signifies a lively conception of objects of sight. It is distinguished from conception. Oh, man. Conception is actually bringing it into being as opposed to imagination. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Wow.
Coach, you're giving us the how-tos. Now it comes down to my heart. Am I going to do it? Am I going to use these weapons to fight back and to live a spiritual life? Am I going to do it? That's where God, as you say, God, deal with my heart. Put my heart in this game and change my heart. Change me to do this. This, now we have to do it.
Now we have to do it. So, folks,
we can practice this.
Quit watering the words of the devil. Remember, the Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And we have to be very, very careful about mindsets. I love my wife. I said to her yesterday, honey, you give life to every thought. Stop that. Stop giving life to every thought. Stop repeating what you just heard. Stop doing it. If you get a bad report, come with a good report. If somebody says, this is going to happen, and boy, they're going to come and kill you, Coach. You keep after them, Clintons, they're going to come and kill you. Oh, really? I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. They ain't going to touch me unless the Lord gives them the power to be able to do it. Take captive that negative thought. Don't give life to that thought, and speak agreement with Christ, with the Holy Spirit. Lock up your frequency. Get on the same page. Pray without ceasing. Communicate. Plug in to the Holy Spirit. Because why? My sheep obey my voice, and another voice they ain't going to obey. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.